So I want to invite you to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to be very elementary, and I want you to understand where we're going this morning. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. See if there's a word from the Lord. We want even young people. We want you to know no matter who you are, you can understand the Bible. Young brother, young sister, I want you to know you can understand the Bible. Okay? Whether your Bible is, if it's a electronic Bible through your phone or a hard copy, I'm here to tell you that this is not hard. All you have to do is focus. Focus. Teenager, you teens, focus, okay? Just like you do in school, focus on the word. You can understand this stuff. And when you understand it, a light will go on and the Holy Spirit will bring revelation. As you get the information and understand the information, you'll get the revelation, and then you'll be able to take that revelation to application in your life so that it doesn't just stay here in this building. I promise you, the devil will leave you alone in this place. Sometimes won't even do it in this place. But the devil got some stuff up his sleeve for you on Monday. And he's waiting for you. And it's not an accident that you are here this very morning to hear what you're going to hear. Discouragement. He's making a discouragement sandwich for you on Tuesday. With all of the dressings. With all of the condiments. I mean, lettuce, tomatoes. I mean, the lettuce and tomatoes of frustration and the onion of bitterness. And he's going to feed it to you on your job at 12:35 as you're walking by one of your coworkers and overhear them saying something that pertains to you while all the while they smile in your face. And if you don't take your own sandwich, you have nothing left but the sandwich the devil makes for you at your job. So what I'm saying is open up the two slices of bread. And let's build this sandwich. Amen? Amen? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says this. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Is that in your Bible? And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Now I need you to come with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. We will wait on you at Acts the first chapter. And we will begin with verse number 1 and terminate at verse number 3. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. I want you, based on these texts, to tell your neighbor, rise up, show and tell. Rise up, show and tell. That's what we want you to do. We want you to rise, show and tell. Okay, here we go. If you've been following, God bless you. You're on the initial part of this journey. If you've already checked out, we'll see you after worship. We have two texts that seemingly have nothing at all to do with each other. Two texts. I know that some begin the process of trying to reconcile the two scriptures I've read. The first text in Matthew chapter 8 is a text about Jesus healing a leper who didn't have a problem believing that Jesus could do it, but he was waiting for Jesus to express that he would do it. And if I had time, I'd tell you that sometimes our faithlessness or our struggle in faith vacillates between trusting that God could do it and sometimes trusting that God will do it. His will versus his ability. Well, this was a case in Matthew chapter 8 where there was a man who was a leper. Now, you got to understand something off the bat. Leprosy was the most hideous disease in this day and time. It was so hideous that when you had leprosy in the Bible times, you were considered dead. You were already considered dead. You were considered cut off. Matter of fact, you couldn't even stay with the other population. You had to stay outside of the village. So here's a man that was cut off, that was considered dead, that had this disease. And apparently he wasn't within great populations because it was against the law for someone with leprosy to even come into a Jewish town. You couldn't even be in the town. You had to be on the outskirts. There's another situation where Jesus heals 10 lepers in Luke, and the Bible says they cry out to him from without the gate because you could not be in the community. You had to stay quarantined on the outskirts. This man deals with Jesus. Apparently Jesus is where he can deal with him, and he reaches out to him and he says, you know, I want you to heal me. I know you can do it, but my question is, will you do it? Here's a man that was dead, that was cut off, and Jesus says, I am willing to do it. And he said, be cleansed. And I like the way Jesus didn't have to write him a prescription. Jesus spoke the prescription. And the prescription took. He just spoke the ointment. He spoke the pill. He spoke the IV drip. And it just affected him. And the Bible says that here he is. He's healed. And the Bible in verse number 4, pay attention now. Pay attention. In verse number 4, Jesus tells him, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. Don't tell anybody, show yourself to the priest. Now, I need to help you understand what that's about. Whenever a leper, maybe he didn't, there were some forms of leprosy that were fatal and some that weren't. But whenever a leper was healed, he had to go to the priest. And there were three things that took place. And write this in your notes. The first thing that took place was presentation. Everybody say presentation. Oh, this is good. I'm not trying to keep it down. You know what I'm saying, brother? When it's good to you, you just check. Okay, anyway. Presentation. He had to go and present himself to the priest. The second thing that happened was inspection. Everybody say inspection. So the priest, once he got there, would inspect him. The priest would look at the marks on him and inspect the marks on him. Now watch this. Priest didn't have to do this. The leper had to do this. The priest didn't have to go to the leper. The leper had to do what? He had to present himself to the priest. Then the priest would inspect him. When you get a chance, read Leviticus 13 and 14. It's crazy. I mean, it was crazy. He'd have to look all in his hair, look all on his skin and inspect him and look for the marks on him. And after that, there was, once the priest found out that this leper was cleansed, that he was no longer dead, that he was no longer dead, that he was no longer dead to the community, he would make a declaration. Everybody say declaration. So there was the presentation, there was the inspection, and there was the declaration. Let's test this group to see how well you're in tune. There was first the what? Okay, some of y'all were like, the invitation, reservation. No, not reservation, right? There was first the what? Presentation, right? He would present himself to the priest. Then there was the what? The priest had to look at him and look at the marks on him. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all already see where I'm going. There was the inspection, right? And then finally, there was the what? He would declare, based upon his inspection, based upon the presentation. Does that make sense? The presentation was to get the inspection, and the inspection was to get the declaration that I'm no longer dead to the community, I'm alive. I need you to stay on the boat. Don't check out. There was the presentation. This leper who was cut off and dead to the people of God, he presented himself to the priest. Not the priest to him. The priest would inspect him, look at his marks, and based upon his marks being healed, and based upon him no longer being dead, he would make a declaration based on the inspection, based on the presentation. Say amen if you understand this. Well, when we get to Acts chapter 1, something happens. If you understand Jewish culture and you understand this, first you need to understand that Jesus is the high priest. Okay, everybody literally go to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8. I want you to go. I want you to go. Be educated. Jesus is the high priest. Let's put this thing together. Jesus is the high priest. The priest stood before God and man. The priest offered sacrifices before God and man, right? So Jesus is the high priest because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse number 8, what?
Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered.
He learned obedience from what he suffered.
And once made perfect.
And having been made perfect,
he became the source of eternal
salvation. To all those who obey him, the source of eternal salvation.
And was designed by God.
Being designated by God as a what? Everybody say that. As a what? As a high priest. Jesus is the high priest. Designated by God. Let's look at the model. The model is presentation, inspection, declaration. The priests don't go to the leper. Priests didn't do that. Because the priest wasn't the one with the problem. Are you with me? The one who was cut off went to the priest for the priest to inspect him. The priest wasn't inspected by the leper. That didn't happen. The priest was not inspected by the leper. The priest did not present himself to the leper, to the one that was dead to his people. Now watch this. Thirdly, the priest would make the declaration. The leper wouldn't make the declaration. The priest had to make it. Right? Jesus is designated by God as the high priest. But in Acts chapter 1, something strange is happening that breaks the protocol of law. Now, another thing is Jesus told that leper to bring a gift, an offering to the priest. The priest didn't give the gift to the leper. The leper gave the gift to the priest. I'm trying to be really simple with this. Jesus is the what? Designated by God. Now watch Acts chapter 1. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, and I'm quoting from King James, that's how I learned it, but go ahead and read.
The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach.
All that Jesus began both to do
And teach. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven.
Until the day in which he was taken up to heaven. Now, who is Jesus? High priest. The priest don't go to the leper. The leper come to the priest. Priest didn't go to man. Man came to the priest. Right? Priest didn't give the gift to man. Man gave the gift to the priest. Jesus is the high priest. Watch this. Man didn't do the inspection. The priest did the inspection on the man, not the man on the priest. Jesus is a high priest. The priest looked for marks on men who were cut off, not men who were cut off looking for marks on the priest. But here in Acts chapter 1, there's something that's breaking this weird protocol, because the Bible says that Jesus, when he gets up from the grave, verse number 3, what?
To these he also presented himself alive.
Wait a minute, there's a presentation. But the protocol is that the presentation is made by the leper, by the one who was dead. Well, here's the thing. Jesus had died one Friday evening. So what Jesus does is he's operating not like he's the high priest, but he's operating like he has had the disease that cut him off and made him dead to the community. Why is this? Because the resurrection isn't simply about the fact that Jesus got up. The resurrection is about the fact that Jesus was taking our place, and Jesus says, here, I'll be the leper, you be the high priest. And so Jesus presents himself and shows himself alive by many infallible proofs. Well, what did the priest do? Now you have the priest presenting himself to man, to the disciples whom he had chosen. Well, in the original model, after presentation, there's what? See, if you haven't been following, you lost already. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing your body here. After the presentation, there's the inspection. Everybody go to John chapter 20. Oh, God. Oh, God. I know I could have got up here and said, he died. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's coming again. Now, you're going to be educated in here so that you know what this means. You see what Jesus is doing. Here he is. The priest didn't have to subject himself to that. But in John chapter 20, verse number 18, let's start with verse number 18. First, he shows himself. Mary Magdalene sees him. She says, I have seen the Lord. Read.
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord.
I have seen the Lord.
And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week.
On the evening of the first day of the week. This is after Jesus dies. He hangs on the cross. He's buried and he gets up. Now watch this. After Jesus healed the leper, after he got up from being dead to the community, he says, go show yourself to the priest. But what happens when it's the priest who takes on the leprosy of humanity? Who does the priest show himself when he dies and is cut off from his people? Because it's called, what you have here is a transference. So what Jesus does is he makes his disciples operate and allows them to operate in the capacity of priests. But guess what? He does that to us today. Because guess what the church and those who are children of God are called? We are called a royal. So watch this. So here's the presentation. He's showing himself. He gets up out of the grave, and he just doesn't get up out the grave and go back into heaven. He starts presenting himself because he's already alive. Just like that leper was already cleansed, it wouldn't have made him more cleansed by showing himself to the priest, no more than it would have made Jesus more alive by showing himself to people and the disciples and everybody he showed himself to. But there's a reason why he's showing himself. He's presenting presenting himself for the same reason the leper is presenting himself, because the presentation is for the inspection and the inspection is for the declaration. The Bible says what?
When the disciples were together. With the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders.
They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Read.
Jesus came and stood among them and said what? Peace be with you.
Peace be unto you. Read.
After he said this, what? He showed them his hands and side.
Watch. Here's the inspection. The priest now is being inspected by man. He shows them marks. Just like the priests were looking for marks in the leper, Jesus now shows them marks, and they're inspecting him. Why? Because it's not enough to see somebody who looks like Jesus. It's not enough to see somebody whose facial features resemble Jesus. One thing that would make it unique beyond question, it's not whether or not you kind of look like Jesus in the face. They're inspecting him, because the true telltale sign that this is Jesus is not his facial bone structure, but the marks. So the Bible says Jesus shows his marks. Read.
The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord.
They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Read.
So Jesus said to them again.
He says to them what?
Peace be with you.
Now watch this. Remember, the leper had to bring a gift. Jesus now operates in the capacity of the one who needed the priest. He switches places. He's going to bring a gift for them. Just like the leper brought a gift to the high priest. And the Bible says what?
As the Father has sent me, I also send you.
I send you, read.
And when he had said this.
When he said this.
He breathed on them and said to them.
He breathes on them. And tells them to receive the gift. What is the gift?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. He says receive. Just like the leper brought a gift to the priest. Jesus now is operating like the leper who, watch this, who died with the leprous sins of the world on him. And even though he's a priest, he operates in the capacity of the leper. And instead of waiting for them to present themselves to him, he presents himself to them and brings a gift. But that wasn't good enough, because there were only 10 disciples there. I say 10 because one of them got so filled of guilt that he went and hung himself. You remember the guy that hung himself? I mean, it was terrible, man. He went out there on this hill. I mean, he got a rope. He looked around, looked at himself, started crying a few times. The tears were falling down. And he put that rope around his neck and was holding on to the tree and just let go. It was just a mess. I mean, it was all in the newspaper and everything. Y'all didn't see that online? But I say 10 because one killed himself, but there... That should have left 11, right? But it didn't, because there was one missing. Look in the next verse. Read.
If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been
forgiven
them.
That's part of the gift. Read. Next verse.
But Thomas, one of the 12.
Oh, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. Now, it's important to Jesus that everybody who will make the declaration about him be involved in the inspection of him. Is it making sense to anybody up in here? What were the 3 points? Presentation. Jesus wants them to make a declaration about them. But because he wants them to make a declaration about him, all of them have to be part of the inspection process. Thomas wasn't there. As a matter of fact, he was having a hard time believing the news. The Bible says, but Thomas, read.
Was not with them when Jesus came.
Wasn't with them when Jesus came. Read.
So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord.
We have seen, there's the declaration. The declaration is we have seen the Lord. He's alive. He's no longer dead to the world. We've seen him. But look at what the text says.
But he says to him.
He says to him what?
Unless I see in his hands.
Whoa, I haven't. Watch this. I didn't do my inspection. I can't make my declaration based on your inspection. Are you hearing me today? Oh, God, if I had time, I'd tell you there are a lot of people making declarations based on other people's inspections. They talking about Jesus based upon somebody else's relationship with Jesus. They're talking about God based upon somebody else's relationship with God. You need your own inspection to make your own declaration. And Thomas was saying, I'm not going to make the same declaration you make until I get the same inspection you had. Thomas says, unless I see him, unless I see the nail prints, forget his face. Anybody can do something and manipulate the look. But what can't be manipulated are the scars. And if I had time, I'd tell you, even as Christians today, people can manipulate the look of Christianity. They can shirk like a Christian. They can use terminology like Christian people. They can say blessed and highly favored. You can dress like a Christian, wear t-shirts that say, look at me, I'm a Christian. But at the end of the day, the question is, do you have the marks? Thomas said, nah, unless I see the nail prints, unless I see the prints of his pierced side, I will not believe. Look what happens, read.
And put my finger into the place of the nails and read. Put my hand into his side, I would not believe.
Read.
After 8 days, the disciples were again
eight
inside.
8 days later, Jesus says, I don't just want those 10 preaching about me and declaring me. I don't want 10 disciples declaring me. I need more than the 10 I've chosen to declare me, to make the declaration about me. I need all of y'all to make the declaration. And since all of you need to make the declaration, all of you need to get the inspection. And so 8 days later, Jesus does what?
Jesus came. The doors having been shut. And stood in their midst and said,
watch this. The doors haven't been shut. For, number one, watch this. He just shows up in the room. He doesn't open the door. Yeah, don't miss that. You see, it says the doors having been shut. He's in the middle of the room. A lot of us would have ran. How'd you get in here? Would have been our question. He just appears in the middle of the room. Why is that so urgent, Lord? Because there's somebody in here that didn't get a chance to inspect me. And he's going to have to declare me. And he can't declare me unless he inspects me. And the Bible says what?
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Read.
He said to Thomas, reach here with your finger.
Watch this. Here's Jesus' presentation and Thomas's inspection. Jesus said, reach here. Put your finger in the holes in my hand. Forget looking at my face. I need you to know authentically that this is authentically me. And for you to know that this is authentically me, I need to still have the wounds from Friday night so that you know that Sunday morning was real. And Sunday morning is not real unless you get some wounds Friday night. There are a lot of people that want Sunday morning, but they don't want Friday night wounds. Jesus says, here, inspect me. Now, I know I'm the high priest, but you see, I'm trading places with you. Because he who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I will let you inspect me like I'm a leper. So that you can declare me like you're the priest. Read.
Thomas answered and says to him.
Thomas said what?
My Lord and my God.
My Lord, watch the declaration.
Jesus.
The priest would say clean. The priest would say, no longer dead. Thomas is saying, my Lord and my God. You don't get to that kind of declaration without that kind of thorough inspection. And you don't get that kind of thorough inspection without the presentation. Do you see what the resurrection was about? Well, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. So we get to Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and Peter's preaching. He's declaring. He's pronouncing. That's why you get to Acts chapter 2, and Peter's saying, the same Jesus who you crucified and you slayed, the same Jesus who you took with cruel hands and hung up on the cross. God raised him from the dead. Why are you making that declaration, Peter? I'm making the declaration not because somebody told me. I'm making the declaration not because I read it somewhere. I'm making the declaration not because I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend that heard it from her cousin's roommate. I am making this declaration because I had an inspection. I've seen him for myself. And it isn't until you experience God for yourself that you can make an authentic declaration about who Jesus is. We need to shut the mouths of these fake folk who never have an inspection of Jesus in their life, who want to go around making declarations of what they did not inspect in their life.
Yeah. Come on, man. That's right, preach.
Authentic Christianity is based on faith, but based on witnesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get to Acts chapter 3. Because I know you want to take pictures with the blue bonnet. And take your mom and your grandma out to eat. But in Acts chapter 3, what you have is you have another resurrection of sorts. There's a lame man by the gate called Beautiful. And he's lame. And he's begging. Peter and John, two of the ones who Jesus presented himself to, two of the ones who inspected Jesus, two of the one who now declare Jesus, they are walking into the temple, and this man who was lame looks on them. And Peter said, he looks to them, and Peter said, look on us. And he's looking for money. He wants money. Watch this. Because he's financially dead. Not only that, but he's socially dead. Because as a lame man, the closest you can come is the gate of the temple. You can't even come to church. You would have to sit out in the foyer while everybody else worshiped because you were defiled. So he was dead to the community. He's looking for money. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Now watch this. This man needs a resurrection. So watch this. Peter says, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. The man gets up and he's celebrating. You get to verse number 11 of chapter 3, of Acts chapter 3, and Peter uses this man's resurrection to talk about the ultimate resurrection. He says, you think this is something? Let me tell you about a man who you took and you crucified. And on the third day, God raised him up. What's the point? Jesus was buried and went as low as anybody could go. And God raised him from the lowest place anybody could be. So that if you find yourself in life anywhere above the lowest place, if God can raise Jesus from the lowest place and raise him from the dead, he can raise you from sickness. He can raise you from poverty. He can raise you from bad relationships, because sickness, poverty, and bad relationships is not as low as where God raised Jesus from. Does that make sense? So what he said is, you think this man is something? Let me tell you. You think we got some kind of power because this man is dancing and he couldn't walk before? Let me tell you about another resurrection. And I'm here to tell you today that God is still resurrecting his children. I am a product of a resurrection and several resurrections in my life. And every resurrection God gave me in my life, the sequence of times I was down and God raised me up, all was made possible because of his resurrection. And now God is telling us to rise up, show and tell. Some people need to inspect us. I know you're private and I know you're to yourself, but every now and then you need to go show yourself to the royal priesthood. After they've been praying for you and you've been asking for prayer and you saying, I'm in a jam, and pray for my faith and pray for my strength and pray for my health and pray for my job and pray for my finances and pray for my mom and pray for my dad and pray for my kids. Every now and then, when the Lord does what he does, you need to rise up and you need to show. And people will inspect you. Now, I'm not talking about the eye of criticism. I'm talking about the fact that 3 weeks ago, you were on a bed of affliction. I'm talking about a little Harold Burnett who was laid up in the hospital and the doctors were talking down as if nothing, there was nothing they can do. But if you look out there now, he's sitting in the audience on a Sunday morning. Don't just sit there. Rise up, show and tell. Let people expect you. Because when they inspect you, they can declare you. And when they declare you, they can let the world know that if God is able to do it for you, he can do it for them. Rise up, show and tell. I'm not hiding my testimony. I know some of us hide it because it's ugly. The Lord brought some of us up from the gutter. Stop hiding it. You got pregnant at 15. Stop hiding it. People can do the numbers. Let them know that no matter how low you get, the Lord can raise you up. Come to church. Let them inspect you. Because if they inspect you, they got to declare what the Lord has done for you. Inspect me. Inspect me, baby. Check me out. Inspect me. Because if you inspect me, I'm letting you do it. Because God has done some stuff for me, and I'm declaring the goodness of God. I'm declaring my deliverance. Yeah. Rise up. Show and tell. Jesus said, look here. No, it's me. And the reason why is because when you declare me, I don't want there to be any doubt in your mind of who you're talking about. In John 9, a man was born blind. Jesus healed him, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam after putting mud on his eye. And do you not know that the Jews and Pharisees, the leader of the Jews, came to his parents and said, what happened to him? Is this really your son? Who did this to him? The Bible says his parents were afraid of the criticizing voices of the Jews. So they kicked their son under the bus and said, ask him. He's a man. He's old enough. When they came to him, even though the Jews were feared because of their criticism, that man said, let me tell you something. A man came along and told me to open my eyes. I once was blind and now I see. You may talk about me because of this. You may kick me out of the synagogue, but I've inspected him for myself. And I'm here to tell you that I once was blind and now I see. Now we know that God doesn't hear sinners' prayers. So don't say this man was a sinner. But if any man be a worshiper of him, him he heareth. And we need some unashamed, unbashful children of God who are not ashamed of the criticizing voices of people, who will stand up and let people know, and who are not ashamed for people to inspect them. And people will want to put their hand where you were wounded. But the same wounds that confirmed your death on Friday will confirm your resurrection 3 days. You don't get this. You don't get this. The reason why Jesus had a piercing wound in the side is because the tradition was to go up to everyone crucified and break the legs of anyone hanging on the cross to make their death come in a hastily fashion. They get to Jesus, they suspect he's already dead, so to confirm that he was dead, the Roman soldier takes a spear and pierces him in the side. Out of his side comes blood and water. Pierced him to confirm that he was dead. Well, the same wound that said he's dead, 3 days later, the same wound gave a different testimony and said that he is alive. And we ought not be ashamed to rise, show, and tell. Tell somebody to rise up. Tell them to rise up. Tell them to show it. And tell them to tell it. Tell it when nobody want to hear it. Tell it when people think you're lying. Tell it when they think you fake your sickness. Tell it, because when you declare it, you're not just declaring your healing. You're declaring that he is a healer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody stand to your feet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you need to come to Jesus, he got up so that you can get up. And he invites you to come to him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, you will find rest for your soul. Somebody, you're wounded. You've been wounded. Maybe you feel dead, cut off. Maybe you have a sequence of mistakes you've made in your life. And the crop, when you look over the field of your life, you see a lot of weeds and not a lot of wheat. I want to talk to the real person that know that just because I look like I got it going on don't mean I have it all together. I'm talking about the person who is wounded and his wounds are wrapped with the bandages of sophistication. You do know you can wrap your wounds in the bandage of sophistication, so much so that people don't think you have anything going on. And let me tell you something. That's hard. I'm going to tell you what makes that so hard. It's hard for a person that doesn't wear their feelings and mope and confidently trust God. I'm going to tell you what makes it hard. What makes it hard is that people around you will become absent-minded about the fact that you go through your stuff too. And they will come to you and pull from you and pull from you and pull from you, forgetting that just because the Lord made me look good doesn't mean I'm not going through anything. Doesn't mean I don't have wounds. And people who are confident and people who walk in faith are often the loneliest people in the world, because everybody think they have it together. They're the most leaned upon people in the world. But yet when it's their turn to go through something, it isn't that people don't love you. It isn't that people don't care about you. It isn't that people are disrespectful of you. It's just you look so strong so much that they don't feel like that you need anything or they have anything to offer.